Okay. Okay, we're up to Perek, beginning of Perek Vav. We're having trouble getting through the beginning of Perek Vav. We're stalling on Perek Vav. Let's review. Okay, let's review. We're up to Pasuk. Let's review Pasuk Beis. Okay, we started yesterday Pasuk Beis. Vayimotzei chosuv asher higid Mordechai al biksono voseresh. It was discovered in the document in the Sefer HaZichronos, the very high name, that Mordechai Mordechai al big son of Aseresh, he related their plot. Who was the big son of Aseresh? So it tells us that it was Shnei Sarisei Melech Mishrabi Hasaf. Okay, and the Megillah, for whatever reason that's not clear, has to tell us again who they were. They were the Sarisei Melech, they were from the guardians of the Saf. The Saf either means, we mentioned yesterday, either means the threshold. They were guards, or means Saf is a reference to the pots. They were the guardians, they were the supervisors of the kitchen. They oversaw the food preparation, like the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar Oifim, and therefore they had access to the food. They had the ability to poison the king. Mm-hmm. They wanted to send forth their hand. They wanted to overthrow, to assassinate the Melech Achashverosh. Leshlochir obviously is a reference, is an expression that refers to assassination attempt. Okay, so we discussed yesterday Big Son of Aseresh, two interpretations. Why is it spelled here Big Son with an Aleph? Okay, so we went through, that was yesterday. Okay, one thing I want to, before you see Rashi in the Targum, Vayimotzei. The word Vayimotzei, it doesn't say Chazal explained with the word Mitzia always refers to Avud. You only use the word Mitzia when something has been lost. So this implies that they tried very hard, the people in the palace, the people who wrote the records, and people who were reading the records, the scribes and the secretaries, they tried their hardest that it should be forgotten, that this event should be lost, it should not be part of the official record. And that's why it says Vayimotzei, it was discovered, it was a mitzvah. Like you walk in the street and you see there on the floor a $20 bill. No one put the $20 bill there for you to find. It's just a hashkocha pratis that happened to be there, and you found it. The unexpected mitzvah is the unexpected here. So here as well, it was an unusual hashkocha pratis, whatever the sequence of events were, that they actually found this record that Mordechai saved the life of the king, because all of the servants were trying very hard to downplay and to ignore and to even delete, even to erase this from the record. There's a medrash that says Eliyahu Hanavi himself came and he had to constantly rewrite. They were trying always to remove it from the record. He came and would rewrite it to make sure that it should not be forgotten.
To undo the undo.
Okay, let's see over here what it says over here in the Targum Pasuk Beis. The Targum says the Ish the Kach. Let's first see the Rashi. So, is there any Rashi on this Pasuk? No, there is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. The Ish the Kach was found Kosel B'Sifrei Di. It was found in the Sefer Di Chavei Mordechai al Big Son of Aseresh. That Mordechai spoke. He related the plan of Big Son of Aseresh. Who are these two people? They are trained Rabonei Malka Di Notrei Paltern. They are the guardians of the palace. Diva ule oshato yoda. They wished to extend their hand. Liktala yasmalka achashverosh. Deves demoche in his base demoche means in his malchus, of malchus in his palace. They wanted to extend their hand to execute, to assassinate. The Targum leaves no doubt. Don't make a mistake. I think that word, don't think that when it says l'shloach yad, it means to undermine him. Maybe you'll say that they had some political tactic where they can prevent the king from getting enough votes in Congress to pass his bill, his law. It's much deeper than that. The Targum, make no mistake, l'shloach yad here means they wanted to actually execute the king. Okay, now, let's see. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Oh, wait. Okay, there's one other thing I wanted to point out. Vayimotzei chasuv. Okay, the word vayimotzei chasuv means they tried very hard. Now, there actually is a chazal that says that, let me just see in reference to where exactly it was said. Okay, here it is. Okay.
What does the word vimotzi mean? It came upon suddenly?
Say it again?
The word vimotzi is usually means you found something.
That's what we mentioned. We just explained that. Vayimotze, every time the word vayimotze has a connotation that it was ovat. You only use the word vayimotze in reference to something that is lost.
It's not just that. It's the fact that it doesn't say vayimsa. So
it was an accident because it has the connotation they were trying.
There was a cause that allowed it to be found.
They were trying the very hardest to make sure that it should not be found. Okay, this is on the next. The idea I want to bring out is on the next pasuk. Okay, let's go further. The pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Hamelch. The Melech said, "Manasa Yikaru Ugudulo leMordechai Alzeh." The king says, "What was done? What act of honor? Ugudul." The word Yikar is an Aramaic word. It's not a Hebrew word. Ugudulo. And I think the Gra actually says that Yakar means honor. Ugudulo means financial award. Today, if you don't get money for doing something good, then it's not considered to be an award. You have to get money. So what money did Mordechai receive? Mordechai Alzeh for this? Vayoyimu, what?
Modern language, Yoker is probably associated with
money. With money? Possibly.
Expensive, rare.
Okay. Yoker, expensive. Okay, but today, but Chazal stimulate Tfilin. Tfilin is like, Yudim, it's an Orev, Simcha, Visasin, Vikar. Vikar, Elo, HaTfilin. So Tfilin is not used as a reference to money, it's used as a crown. Tfilin is the crown of a person, so here means honor. Ugedula means financial reward. Lebordechai Alzeh, Vayomu, Nari HaMelech, Mesharsav, Lo, Nasa, Imo, Davar, nothing. Nothing was done to Mordechai. Okay, let's. The Gviya, it was unexpected. So, because it was lost, because it was understood that the goblet was lost from Yosef. Where is it? It's lost. Go inspect. And indeed, it was found. Okay, so this is the pasuk l'nasim. Nothing was done to reward Mordechai. Let's see over here. Pasuk Gimel of the Targum. Targum says, "Vamar Malka," and the king said, "Ma isaved yikara urvusa." What honor and financial reward was given to Mordechai Aldein? Vamaras ulemei the Malka. Mishum Shono, and the young servants of the king and the young men of the king and the servants said, "Lo isadeit al kidun ine shum midoam." Nothing was done for Mordechai. Now, which means he did not even receive a compliment. The shum davar means he has a very strong connotation. He did not receive anything whatsoever, any recognition. Now, the Mefarshim do explain here, "Lo nasa ima davar." He quotes here a Gemara. Okay, this is a very important chazal. This chazal touches upon a major yisoid in learning Tanakh. Okay, what does it say? Lo nasa. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah says, "Omar Rava, loy mipnei she'oyavim es Mordechai, ella mipnei she'soinim es Haman." Ad kan loshon haGemara. Critical Gemara. Rashi does not quote this Gemara. Rashi, of course, does not quote every piece of Gemara, but this is the Gemara. If you read the psukim at face value, it seems that the servants are trying now to bring benefit to Mordechai. They're saying, Achashverosh says, what did he get for this? So if they really hated Mordechai to such a degree, they possibly could have downplayed. Yeah, you are. It was noted. It was noted in the media. If it was written in the record books, it's very likely, at least from the Gemara, the way the Gemara implies, is that something was done. There was, but it was nothing significant. So if the Mesharsim wanted either to lie, or wanted to build up some excuse that Achashverosh should not now give Mordechai any honor or financial reward, they could have drained it. They could have manipulated the facts to their liking. You did something to him. Something was done. The fact that they went all the way out of their, they went out of the way and they described in such blatant terms, "Loi nasa imo davar," there could not be an expression that is stronger than this, to indicate he got nothing, and therefore you, the king, should go do something for him.
Why didn't you do it before?
So, what?
In a workplace, the boss is responsible for rewarding.
I guess that's Hashgacha Pratis. Or I guess at the time, maybe at the time, he was a Jew. He was anti-Semitism, he was a Jew, and they hated him so much, even though he was true that he brought about the saving of the king, they didn't want to reward him. Yerem Chol?
As usual, there are two opposing streams of thought here. The other side is that the scribes, or one particular scribe we know, Shimshai,
yeah,
was a son of Haman, and therefore he was well placed to try to make it work.
Discussed yesterday.
That's the opposite of
the yes, yeah, yes, yeah.
And nevertheless, Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged it so that it emerged.
Okay, so the question over here, that was arranged. Hashgacha Pratis, and he should not be rewarded until this point in time. If he was rewarded, then
promotion before. Didn't we say? I remember you said at one point that he. Mordechai took over the job.
Yeah. So we had complaints. Mordechai, right? He took over Mordechai. He took over Big Son of Seresh's position. Big Son of Seresh. Big Son of Mordechai was rewarded before. Mordechai was rewarded when that's why they were jealous, and they wanted to. That's why they were jealous, and they wanted to bring when Esther. I don't remember the details, but
well, they wanted to assassinate the king because the king had promoted Mordechai and demoted them.
Okay. The point we want to make over here is the Gemara here says something very critical. Loi nasa imo davar. Here we have there is something happening in the palace. The king is asking what was done to Mordechai. Who did Achashverosh ask this question to? To Haman. Not to Haman. Who? The king asks, what was done to Mordechai? The servants there knew. They knew. Everyone in the palace knew that there was a rivalry between Mordechai and Haman. Haman was the arch enemy of the Jewish people. The people in the palace, they knew the secret that Haman he arranged, he composed, and he was the architect of the genocide of the Jewish people. And Mordechai is the Rosh HaSanhedrin. When now they see, they know that it was Mordechai that went and did something good, the people in the palace, you would think, they could demand, yeah, that's right, king, do something very good for Mordechai. Mordechai is a tzaddik, and it's a very good thing that Mordechai should be rewarded. In the past, loy nasa imo davar. That's how you would read the pasuk at face value. Mordechai had friends in high places, and these friends were now advocating on his behalf. Isn't that the simple way to read the pasuk? Lo nasa imo davar. King Achashverosh, you did nothing for him. I think it would be a good idea. You should now give him great reward, give him honor, give him money, and reward him. Why are they saying this? If you ask the average person, because these people are Mordechai's friends. They're Mordechai's advocates. They want the good and welfare. They seek the good and welfare of Mordechai. What more do you need? Because if these people hated Mordechai, they wouldn't say Lo Nasa Imo Davar. They would use language which is not as strong to indicate it's no big deal. Anyway, Big Son of Seresh, they only were interns. They never really had a chance to carry out their execution plan. It's not necessary for you to do anything for Mordechai. The fact they're trying to go and beg the king to do something for Mordechai would seem to indicate on a very simple level, and it's the pashup shot, that these are Mordechai's friends. Yet Chazal bend backwards to tell us these people in the palace are not Mordechai's friends. They hate Mordechai. They're just as big anti-Semites as Haman. So why then do they say something nice about Mordechai? Because they know that Mordechai is Haman's arch enemy. And my enemy's enemy is my friend. And therefore, and they hate Haman more than they hate Mordechai. So if the king will do something nice for Mordechai, so it'll be a stab, it will be an insult to Haman.
Why do they hate Haman?
Why? Because that's the way it is. Because he was a nasty person. Yeah. A self-centered egomaniac is no one's friend. Yeah?
At this moment, Allison Akash Farish gets up from a nightmare in which he's convinced somebody is out to kill him. Probably Homer. And, well, actually, that's what it says. So, when they read this back to him, he remembers that Mordechai foiled an assassination plot previously, and I better get him back on my good side so maybe he can
reveal the secrets.
Or foil a possible attempted assassination again.
Okay, so this is a major question here. Why did Chazal bend backwards to take the pasuk out of its simple meaning and interpret it loy? The reason why they said that Mordechai was not rewarded is not because loy mipnei she'oyavin es Mordechai, ela mipnei she'soinim es Haman. Why did the Gemara need to do this? So the answer is,
I told you that it's not the king's decision.
But why are Chazal looking for something negative? The pasuk says something nice. These two people, they said something nice about Mordechai. Wonderful. There are good people in this world. Not everyone is a Rasha. There are few and far in between. You find nice people. Chazal take the pasuk out of its simple understanding, bend backwards, and they say we're looking for something bad. So the answer is, guess what? This is not the first time Chazal did this. He has over here in this Mishra Zohar, he has over here many examples. For example, Vayavo HaPolit Vayagei Li Avraham Ivri. Lord was captured. So he's a nice guy. Og Melech HaBashan is a nice guy. There's an emergency. He makes us a phone call and he tells Avram, you know, your nephew Lord is in trouble. He's a nice guy. The Pasuk is telling us Og is a tzaddik. Chazal bend backwards. No. He's no tzaddiko. He wants to marry Sarah, as if Sarah would want to marry him, right? He thinks he can get Sarah as a wife. So therefore, I'll go and I'll say something to Avraham. So
well, he's very tall, dark, and handsome. So.
he should go and put himself in Sakana. He'll die in battle. And then, here I am. Prince Charming is going to marry Sarah Imenu. Okay, so another example. Vayavo Esav min hasodeh v'hu oyef. He's tired. Why? So he had a long day of work. Esav was a hard-working man. Yaakov Avinu is in Kollel. He's sitting, he's Yeshev HaHolim. Today, we live in a generation, you know, living in Kollel, criticized, go make a few dollars, support your family. Esav is everything a girl ever wanted. He makes a parnasa. He makes a good parnasa. He works hard. He goes out into the field. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Vayavoy Esav min ha-sodev hu oyef. I mean, every working man, you come home, 8 o'clock at night, you're dead tired. So where's the supper? Put the supper on the table. Oh, well, that's Chazal. That's all. But that's not what it says in the Pasuk. Chazal go, and they read into the Pasuk, you know why he was Oyif? Don't get carried away, because he did 5 Averis. He did Avodah Zarah, he did Ritzicha, Gili Arayis. What else did he do? He's tired from sinning, from doing. Why are they bending backwards to take a Pasuk that can be read in such a fine manner? And we work backwards to go and say they did the worst possible things. And on the other hand, when it said Vayishkav Ruvain Ezbila Pilegeshaviv, what does it say? He lived with his stepmother. He lived with his father's wife. That's what it says. Vayishkav Ruvain Ezbila Pilegeshaviv. And what else? No, he didn't do. Don't get like a carried away over here. He didn't do that. David says he lived with an Eshes Ish. He lived. So what's going on? Exactly. And here is another great example. And this example is just one of many examples where it says here that they said good things. Loi nasa imo dover. You know, that's right. Give Mordechai a pension. Give him a stipend. Give him kavod because loi nasa imo dover. Chazal say, no. It's not because they like Mordechai, it's because they hate Haman, and by doing something good to Mordechai, that's going to be a source of aggravation to their even bigger enemy, Haman, my friend, my enemy's enemy is my friend. What's going on over here? So the answer is, Enochanami, that indeed is the fact. This Chazal have uncovered over here a Metzias in this world, that by Klal Yisrael, who have the Torah, it's a very revealing idea. Klal Yisrael, who has been given the Torah, through the koyach of Torah, a person is in essence a good person. And if there is a way to understand a person's actions, can be interpreted a person's actions for the good, you have an obligation, you have a duty to interpret them for the good. The Umos Olam who have chosen to reject, they had the opportunity to recover the Torah, and they chose to reject the Torah, that says it all. You had an opportunity of Kirvas Elokim, and you rejected it at Har Sinai, it shows what you're all about. It shows your essence, and therefore every opportunity that you're going to have in Tanakh, in Chazal, in history, to go look at a person's actions, that's right, we're going to interpret it in the negative. He brings over here a very bizarre story. It's a documented story. He even has the name of the king and who these people are. I don't know who these people are. Let me see if I can find the name of the people. It's a simple story. There was once a king, and the king was
from somewhere.
Okay, he brings down over here the following Victor Emmanuel, and this is the Mishpat Zav.
Italy.
Okay,
he was the
Victor Emmanuel of Italy. He was the king of Italy. And who was the Rav at that point? The Rabbi Shalom of Italy. He was very close with, Shemelech Italia, Shenikra B'Shem Victor Emmanuel. He once pon upon El Rabbi Shalom, Shahaya Imo B'Kishra Yididus. Okay, the Rav, who was the Rav? Doesn't say who the Rav of Rome was. There was a Rav, the chief rabbi of Rome. And they were very close. And he asked him exactly this question. Okay, this king was obviously, he knew Tanakh, and he was bothered. He knew the Mamari Chazal, and he knew these Mamari Chazal, and he was very bothered. Why do Chazal continuously look to find something negative about the Umos? But Esav, he asked him specifically about these two psukim. Vayavo Avraham, what?
That's why they aren't supposed to learn that.
Well, that's why they say that he had a subscription to the article Shas, Cardinal O'Connor. Cardinal O'Connor had a subscription to the
first place that they
he had a patur. He was really Jewish.
Well, we know he. Well, we know now he was Jewish. Later, he had a subscription. So they know, and he came on. But it says over here. So he asked him in regard to these two psukim vayavo apolit vayagel li Avraham u'ivri, and he asked him vayavo esav min ha. He had an art scroll stone edition. He read what it said. Cardinal O'Connor, he actually used to turn to the page where it says, Am Hadayim Lechamar. He was insulted. It says the Shvu Lechem. We once showed someone when the art scroll stone edition of the Chumash came out and he got a copy, it opened up to the Pasuk, Shvu Lechem Poyem Achamar, and he saw what it says there in the interpretation, in the notes in the bottom, Am Hadayim Lechamar, and he commented negatively, here we are in the 20th century, and they're still calling us donkeys. So he knew where to look. Victor Emmanuel knew where to look. And he saw in the Mufarshim, it said this to Maror Chazal. And he questioned the Rav of Rome, why do you, does the Chazal always looking to say something nasty? So he said to him, yes, and you're a good question, and I don't want to answer you now. I'll come with time, I'll give you an answer. The story, this is how he brings the story. Is it true or not? I don't know. I'm thinking what it says over here. They were very, very close. And obviously this person, this king, knew that the Rav of Rome was a very holy, pious individual. He was once invited to some state dinner. They were sitting there. I imagine they had kosher food in his honor. And they were there. And the king took off his signet ring, to wash his hands. I don't think he washed until Asidayim, but before they ate, he washed his hands. When they took off the signet ring, the Rav of Rome, he took it. He took the signet ring, and he put it in his pocket. Okay, they were sitting and they were dining, and then the king realized that his ring is missing. So he was very, he looked around, where is it? And then he decided, you know what? He told the Secret Service, I want you to take out all of the servants and I want you to question them and interrogate them. Who took my ring? Who stole my ring? The investigator comes back and says that every single one denies that they have it. So the king said, okay, I want you to beat them up. I want you to whip them. Take them to the back room and you whip them one by one. Give them lashes. So then as they started to do this, I don't know exactly how far they went, the Rav says, I stole it. I stole your ring. So the king says, I don't believe you. You, I know you for years. I know you, I know how holy you are, I'm pious. And he records here, even if I would put you in my innermost treasure chambers, and I would go away, I know as a fact you wouldn't, no one was watching, I know as a fact you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't take one penny. I know how honest you are. So you're lying, you're a liar. So he said to him, now that's the answer to the question that you asked. You see, that's the end. You asked the question, how come Chazal always looking for negative? And I left a part of the story. He said the Rav asked him, why you were beating them? Why you were punishing them? He says, I know my servants. I know them. I know them very well. They're a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of lowlifes. When they have an opportunity to steal, they'll steal. And when no one's watching, I know, don't worry, they deserve it. Even if they didn't steal, they deserve it also. They deserve what they're getting also. And then when he confessed that I stole it, he said, I don't believe it. It's a law. You would not steal. So he said to him, I really did steal. That's exactly the point I want to make is, when a person, you know a person to be a good person, even if he does something, even to the impossible, you would never suspect that he did the impossible. But when it comes to someone that's not a good person, even when he didn't do it, you suspect him of doing something because you yourself said, I know my servants, I know their low lives, and even if they didn't do it, they deserve it anyway. You, even if you stole it, you can keep it because I love you so much and you're such a good person. I know there has to be a good kavana while you did something, no matter what it is. That's the answer to your question. So therefore, in this Maisa Shehoya, Victor Emmanuel, the king of England, the king of Rome, and with this, the Rav of Rome, this story illustrated this idea why Chazal are entitled to always look for the negative. If these people in the palace are saying something good about Mordechai, it's not because loy me'avas Mordechai. It's only because of the sinner of Haman. And this is Bichlal, is a very interesting hashkafic issue if a person is permitted to say something nice about Goyim. There really is a lois say in the Torah of lo sichonim. You're not allowed to show favor to a non-Jew. Put that aside. Let's say you're not showing favor. Is it shaykh by a non-Jew for them to have good midos toivos? Good midos. So this is a very, very big debate. How far you go? And we once mentioned a few times, Rabbi said a few times, so with Rav Chutner once had a debate when he was in Slobodka. He had a friend, and they debated this issue, if it's shaykh to say about a non-Jew that he has a good midah. Rav Chutner said there's no such thing. And his friend says there is. When the Germans, they have a very nice midah. I don't know if you're familiar with German and Yiddish, but when you ask a German a question, so they answer the question, and then after they answer the question, they say in German, I don't know how it...
Bitte.
What does it mean?
Bitte.
Please, they say, there's another expression.
Isn't it so?
Don't give me credit. You're asking me a question. I'm not lording over you. I'm not bragging that I know and you do not know. I'll give you the answer. And isn't it so? Isn't it so? It's an expression of humility. Humility, like, you know this yourself. It's just you forgot it momentarily. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, so don't give me credit for what I don't deserve. So this person argued to Rav Chutner, this is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful midah. It's a beautiful thing to conclude every expression. When you ask a person a question, it's a beautiful thing. And therefore, you have to give credit where credit is due. And the Germans, if they have this midah, you must give them credit. I mean, it's a very strong argument. Okay, I don't really know the end. The end of the story is a little bit hard because it's not, but this is the story. So then years later, we're talking probably at least 50 years later, Rav Chutner already was not a young man. This person came to Rav Chutner and he met with Rav Chutner, and the person arm was amputated, was missing an arm. He had a hook. Instead of a hand, he had a hook, he had something. So he said to him, you know how this happened to me? I'm coming here 50 years later to tell you that you were right. Why am I telling you that you were right? Because in the war I was taken and into the camps, whatever it was, and the Germans, they wanted to punish me for something I did, and they cut off my arm. And they said to me, you've committed this crime, and you deserve this punishment for what you've done, and we're now going to cut off your arm. Isn't it so? and then they cut off his arm. So those words he said ring in my head my entire life. 50 years, the loss, the tragedy that I lost my arm because I've done nothing, because of the anti-Semitism of the Germans, and they had the chutzpah that when they concluded the words, they concluded that what they told me what they're going to do to me, and they said to me, "Isn't it so?" So I see from that that saying "Isn't it so?" is not really an expression of humility; it's a mocking expression. It's all a matter of interpretation of how you. Yeah, I told you, you have to take this is the story. The story is an authentic story because it's been repeated only a million times and written up all over the place. Now, how you interpret the story, understand the story, I do not know, because you can be a fact fake on really what this means. But this is the point. The point is, I'm not just saying this is a debate. Not everyone, you know, there are many sides to every issue, but it's an idea. The Torah says lo sichonim. And there's a debate, can you really say something nice about a non-Jew? Chazal have set the tone. They're always looking for trouble. They're always looking, vayovo ha-polit, what? A person is created with Tzelem Elokim. Therefore, you have a duty to give honor to a person. And there's no question about it. Every living creature has entitlements. Entitlements. Because every living creature is with Tzelem Elokim and there's covet. But yet, midos, there's a balance. Midos, Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah. Torah is meant to refine the person. And the question is, to what degree do they have good midos? I mean, you can't say it's a hot topic. You can't say about America, there's no good midos. It's a medina shel chesed. All the gedolei Yisrael, yeah, the chassidei umos ha'olam. In Yad Vashem, they are Chassidei Yumos Olam. I mean, there's nothing to talk about.
It doesn't matter.
What?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You have 2 billion, and out of that, you have 5,000.
Okay, so you can. It's not categorical. Okay, Dr. Fuchter, you're right. It's not categorical. There's no question about it that there are Chassidei Umos Olam. There are non-Jews that are tzaddikim. There's nothing to talk about. We live in America. All the Gedolei Yisrael have said over and over, it's a Medina Shel Chesed. I mean, the fact that the services that are given to people that are really, we're not talking about people who abuse the system. Let's talk about people who really, Rahman al-Islam, are needless and need it. So it's unprecedented in world history, such a thing, such Chesed. So you want to just go say that they're doing it for ulterior motives? This was the whole story with Rashbi, Rabbi Yehuda. They build bridges. They have merchatzois. It's all. But Chazal, even though there are definitely exceptions, Chazal have set the tone. The tone cannot be more clear. We look over here at these stories in Chazal. Chazal are looking for trouble. Lo may ahavas Mordechai. Ella may sinasa shel Haman. It's the hatred of Haman. They said leinasa imo davar. Okay, let's go further. Let's see the targum of this pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, Perik Vav, pasuk Gimel. Vatan Esther Malka. I'm in the wrong Perik. Perik Vav pasuk Gimel. Vamar Malka. The king said. Ma isaved, the king said, what was done? Yikara v'usol Mordechai aldein. What reward was given to Mordechai for this? V'amaru ulimei malkom mishum shanoi. Lo, so we really do this pasuk. That's for pasuk dalet. Next, pasuk dalet. Vayomer hamelech mi lechatzer. The melech then suddenly said, who is in the courtyard? In the courtyard, who has arrived? And the answer is, the Megillah tells us, v'homon ba. Muhammad has arrived. L'chatzar beis hamelech hachit soina leimor la'melech, to say to the king, l'slos this Mordechai, to hang Mordechai alo eitz asher heichin lo. Okay, before we see the targum, a few small things. Number one, notice the Haman melech, he came to the chatzar hachit soina. Esther, when she arrived, she walked through the chatzar hapnimis. The gezer was anyone who comes into the chatzar hapnimis asher lo yikorei is put to death. Who was the one that composed that law? Haman. It was Haman himself. So you would think that Haman himself should be an exception to the rule, since Haman was the one that was the one who made this law. Chazal said he's the one that was instrumental in having this law enacted. It did not even apply to him. He also was not had no waiver, and he also was not allowed to go to the Chatzar Pnimis. At most, he can go to the Chatzar Hachit Soina and wait to see if the king will be willing to call him in.
Could now, be that the same Askanim who were against him enforced the law. When he came and he wanted to walk in, they said to him, hold it, you made a rule.
You're not an exception to the rule, which is a chiddush. You would think if he made the rule, he would be an exception. Okay, next point. It says here, Haman, Lamar, it says Lamar la Melech. The Mefarshim's take note that Haman, in his arrogance, he believed, this is a very interesting thing in life, he believed, I'm not going to ask the king permission, I'm going to tell the king. The word Lamar is a very strong, I just need you to sign the dotted line. I want to execute Mordechai, there are laws, okay, and the laws, you know, normally it's subject to your will. Will the king, will he want? Maybe, yeah, maybe that other person would come to the king, they have to ask him, what do you think? And the king, Haman's attitude towards Achashverosh is Achashverosh, he's just a puppet. You are nothing. You're a Nebuchadnezzar. The only reason why you're successful is because you have an Axelrod, right? What's the name of the one Clinton's brain? Bush's brain. What?
David
Axelrod. He was Bush's brain. No.
No?
Obama? And he worked for Clinton also, Obama. So there's someone else then. No, I'm thinking of someone else then. Alright. But whatever the story is, over here, basically the attitude was, I am your advisor. Your success, your career is only because of me, and basically everything that I've told you, you've done. It's basically, Lamar Lamelech. Okay, Lamar Lamelech, I'm coming here to the king not to ask, but to say, to tell you what you're going to do, and you're going to sign the dotted line. Now the next chazal is, this is a very popular chazal. The words asher heichin lo are extra. Listlos es Mordechai. That's all it needs to say. Al ho'etz. Asher heichin lo is like an extra expression that the Megillah Hashem is saying. Yeah. The gallows which you've prepared for yourself. You're coming to ask the king to hang Mordechai on the gallows, which the truth is, who have you really prepared the gallows for? You've not prepared the gallows for Mordechai. You've prepared the gallows for your own self. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Dalid. V'amar Malka Miman Gavra, who is the person, the Koim Bidorta, who is in the Dira, who is the person that's standing outside in the building? V'hamon Ol Lidorta, the base, the Dorta means the gate. Normally you have the Shar. The word shar is, it says the bias, the base, the dart. All the dart, the base, Malka Bar Yosa. He came to the outer building, the chotzer hachitzayin, the outer courtyard, lemeimor lemalka, to say to the king, lemitzlav yos Mordechai, to hang Mordechai, al kesa de zamin le, on the tree which, on the gallows which he prepared for him. Pasik hey. Vayoimru Narei Hamelech Elov, the servant said, Hine Haman Omeid Bechotzer, Haman is in the courtyard, Vayoimru Hamelech Yavo. Okay, and this is, fine, let's see, the Targum, Vamarul Elumei Malko Levasei, the young people of the king said to him, Ha Haman Koim Bedorto is in the courtyard, Vamar Malko, and the king said, enter, he should enter. Fine. Pasik Vav, Vayavo Haman. Okay, that's the Zarek Munach Segol. If everyone, Vayavo Haman, you rule the Balkriya, he elaborates on these expressions. Vayyemelo Hamelech, the king said to him, Malasters, what should I do, Bo'ish, to a person, Asha Melech Hafetz Bikaro. Vayyemer Haman Bilibo. Haman immediately thought in his heart, Lemi Yachbaitz Melech Vasos, Yikar Yosef, Mimeni, he's so happy to see me. Who else would he want to give honor other than me? Let's see, there is no reality. The Targum Pasuk Vav, the Al Haman entered, the Amar Leila Malka, Mo, the king said, Mo Chazel is Avado, the Gvar di Malka, Tzavei Vikare, what should the king do to the person that the king wants to honor? The Choshev Haman, believe Haman thought in his heart, the Amar, Man Yitzle Malka, Limevan, Yikara, Yatir Min, who the Haman king want to do more than me? Now this Pasuk is a very important Pasuk. Chazal asked, how do we know that Megillas Esther was written with the Ruach HaKodesh? And this is one of the main sources, this pasuk. Havayomer Hamelech Mal, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said in his heart, how did Esther and Mordechai know what Haman was thinking? This is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give reshus to man. Hashem made a world where you do not know what other people are thinking. If you knew what people think about you, you cannot live. The best example is always, I can't get this out of my mind. when I was a child, I was to watch Gilligan's Island. And there was an episode there, Gilligan's Island, where they found, say, always think about this, where they found these seeds on the island. And the koyach of these seeds, you eat these seeds, you know what you're thinking. So here you have a little island, you only have 10, how many people there? Just a couple of people, whoever they were. And the whole episode, what is, six people? And the six people, they knew what everyone was thinking, and they went to war. Here you have a little island, everyone needs each other to survive, and everyone knew what, and what could you be thinking about? Six people on the little island, and they knew what they were thinking, and I don't remember the details, but World War III broke out among six people on a stranded island. And they came to realize we can't survive, and the end was they burnt the seeds, they destroyed the seeds. It's a meridik of Musa Haskels, Hafle Mefela. It's a koyach Hashem creating the Berea. In the Berea, we don't appreciate this. You don't know what a person is thinking. Because if you knew what a person is thinking, the world cannot survive one moment. And that is a mitzias built into creation. And here we're breaking the rules. Vayoymer Haman Belibo, it was revealed to Mordechai and Esther al Piruach HaKodesh, the thought process. What was in the mind of Haman? A gilui that is very, very, very deep. It's a very deep break. A breaking of the rules in the Berea. Now, the next thing is a very popular medrash. The medrash contrasts Haman with tzaddikim. There's a difference between tzaddikim and rishon. Tzaddikim are in the control of their hearts, whereas tzaddikim are above their hearts. Okay, some examples. We have Haman, v'yomer Haman bilibo. Haman said in his heart. Another example, v'yomer Esav bilibo. Yikruvu yimei evil bini, and I will rise up and kill my brother. V'chana, okay, but there are many. I don't have the whole medrash in front of me. Okay, yeah, the medrash goes on. The medrash gives a couple of examples, 5-10 examples. It goes to all of the wicked people in the Tanakh, and it shows that each one. It says bilibo. All of these people, they say something in their heart. However, tzaddikim, give you two examples. V'chana midaberes al libo, upon her heart. Vayosem Daniel al libo. Tzaddikim, when we describe their thoughts, their thought process, or thing, it's always described there al libo, which the connotation, the difference between bilibo and al libo means a rasha acts on impulse. The heart represents a person's taivas, desires. And a rasha does not have control. The mind is under the control of the heart, of the taiva of desire. A rasha acts on impulse. A tzaddik disciplines himself where he does not allow his emotions and his desires to overtake him. Instead, everything he does is done rationally through a thought process. One of the classic examples of this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the death of Nadav Avihu died, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Nechama comfort to Aaron and says to Aaron, Aaron, it was revealed to me that the Mishkan would only be inaugurated through Misas Tzaddikim, a concept which is not that which we cannot possibly understand. There had to be the death of Tzaddikim in order to sanctify the base, in order to sanctify the Mishkan. And Moshe says, "Hoyisi Sovor, I thought it would be me or you, because from this generation, who greater is there in this generation than myself and you? So I really thought that the inauguration of the Mishkan would be complete with our death. We would die, and that would bring Kedusha to the Mishkan. And look what happened. It wasn't me, it wasn't you, it was Nadav Avihu. And that's an indication that they are greater. It's something we never expected, that your two children are on a greater spiritual level than me and you. And therefore you should have comfort in knowing that you have brought into this world and raised children that have reached a madrega of Kedusha even greater than me and you, the Gedolei Hador. Now the question over here is, isn't this a bit of gaiva for Moshe Rabbeinu to say such a thing? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying over here, he's saying something over here of extreme gaiva. The Gedolei Hador And I thought the Mishkan has to be inaugurated through the Misa Sadikim. And listen, let's be realistic here. We're the greatest Sadikim in the world. Now, just because you're the Gadol Hadar and your paper and your picture is on the front page of all the newspapers and you speak at all the dinners and you sit on the dais at every convention, doesn't necessarily mean, we all know that as a fact today, it doesn't mean that you're the greatest person in the generation. Because it's just a certain role. You're in a certain, it's a leadership position. Just because you are in a leadership position does not necessarily mean that you, in Hashem's eyes, are on the most exalted spiritual level of the generation. The true tzaddikim on Nechba ben Hakelim are people you don't even know about. Those are the people who rule this world. The people that sit on the dais, they're good people. We hope. They're good people, but they're not the Gdol. So therefore, how can Moshe Rabbeinu say such a thing? Maybe we know there was a Sanhedrin, there were 70 people. Maybe there are people in Klai Yisrael that are on a very high spiritual level. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, listen, I know the situation, and let's be honest. But Moshe Rabbeinu says this, it wasn't Gaiva, because Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the reality, what he, at least his impression. But the way Moshe Rabbeinu described Hayisi Savor, Moshe, when he spoke about greatness, honor, it's the same theme of this pasuk. Haman said, listen, let's be realistic. In government, who in government is deserving of honor more than me? Haman, in his mind, was, you got to be realistic, I deserve the honor. Because I am second to the king. I have been instrumental in making this malchus successful. I am the architect of all of the policies of government. And we're doing very well. We're on top of the world. We're running the world. Who gets the credit? So Haman was very realistic. Haman was very realistic in making this statement. Was not a statement of an egomaniac. And he was an egomaniac also. But you can argue that this statement was a very realistic statement. L'mi yachpoitz hamelech lasos yikar mimeni. There is no one in society that deserves honor for real than me.
The king would want to do.
He's making a statement which is now, yet this pasuk is interpreted as a code, as a mashal for the ultimate egomaniac in the world. That's the impression we get. You look in the Mefarshim, Haman was a sicko. He was a sick person. He thought self-centered person to the extreme, and the proof is in the pudding. Why is that so? Moshe Rabbeinu did not do much different. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hayisi Savor." What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? "Hayisi Savor," that the Mishkan is going to be sanctified to Misa Sadikim. To Misa Sadikim, and who and who? L'mi yachboitz hamelech lasos yikar yosev imeni. It's going to be me and you, Aaron. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu the onav mikol ha'adam? Wait one second.
Moshe says onav, doesn't say anywhere.
Okay, but why? But why is Moshe the onav mikol ha'adam, and why is Haman the bal gaiva mikol ha'adam? Well, they basically said exactly the same thing. Is it not so? There's one very subtle difference, which speaks volumes. Vayomer Haman belibo. Ach, Mordechai belibo. Moshe, hayisi savor. What part of the body does the word savor connect itself? The mind. Belibo connects itself to the heart of the emotions, the taiva, the desire. Both of them can be correct, that we are the most important people in the world. Haman was the most important person on paper in Persia, in Paras Umadai. He was next Achashverosh, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the most important person in Klal Yisrael. The difference, though, is how it was expressed. Haman said belibo. It got to him. It was in the heart. It was pure gaiva, pure taiva. Moshe, hayisi sovor. That's right. I'm the most important person. Big deal. It's just an intellectual realization. It's not something which I'm going to allow to take over and contaminate my heart and affect my actions. This two differences of words speaks volumes. Sovor versus belibo. Okay, let's see what the Targum we did. We did the Targum already, right? We did the Targum Pasuk Vav. We did the Targum next. Okay. Let's go further. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Haman el Hamelech Ish Asher Melech Chafetz Bikro. Let's do the Pasuk Ches. Yaviu Levush Malchus. Yaviu. It should be brought for him. It should be brought for him the Levush Malchus, the royal garb. Asher Lavash Boy Hamelech, which the king wore. The Sus Asher Rochav Olav Hamelech. The Asher Nitan. It should be put Keser Malchus Biroisho. So these three things. The clothing, the horse, and the keser. Pasuk zayin and ches in the Targum. The amar hamon levas malka, givardi malka tzavei bikarei. The person to whom the king wants to honor, yosim malka te'aim. The king should give the te'aim means. Te'aim means the instruction. Yosim malka te'aim. Yaisun levush, I think it means the king should give forth instruction that yaisun, it should be brought. Now here's a very interesting targum. Levush argivana, purple. First of all, he tells us purple clothing. Purple techeles. I mean argamon.
Royalty.
You didn't wear the gold, it was a crime. In ancient times, it was a crime to wear argamon. If you were, you were caught having argamon in your home, it means you're a mori b'malchus. Death penalty. Treason to wear argamon. So you should wear argamon. Now here's what he says. Biyoma di al l'malchusa. Inaugural garb. Not just the clothing what you wore today. You wore clothing today also. Today you went to the party with Esther. So you also must have worn the big day Malchus. You probably at the party also wore argamon. That's right. But there's a special garment that you wear at your inauguration, your coronation. Mm-hmm. That garment is what should be brought to the person to whom the king wants to honor. The susa, the horse, there were different horses. The horse that you wore, that you rode at your inauguration. The susa di rechav aloi malka biyomad al lemalchusa that you rode upon on the day of your inauguration. The di isyahev kelila de malchusa bereshe and the crown. Now the crown is the same crown. It seemed that the crown is there's only one crown. The crown that you wore at the inauguration is the same crown that you wear today. That crown should be given to this person. So what was he trying to do? Haman is trying to say over here that I want already the people to get the idea. It's a rehearsal that I'm going to be the new king. It's not just enough. It's not just enough that you should get honor. It totally raises the bar many, many levels. Yes, the average person did not see this targum. Oh, he should wear royal garments. Very nice. Every senator, every congressman wears to some degree royal garment, whatever it was. You're part of the Senate. In Rome, you wear special garments. But no one wears the clothing that the king wears on the day of his inauguration. That already sets a tone that I'm the next in line to be the king. He was trying over here to actually let people get used to the idea. You know, he was playing with the minds of the people. He was a master politician. He was probably no one greater than Haman in his technique. Let the people see what it looks like for me to be king. They'll see, you know, it's not so bad. It's a big improvement. Probably public policy wasn't, public opinion was not, he didn't have such his ratings were not so high. People were thinking, maybe there's someone in society that would be a better king. So Haman was saying, yeah, there is. There's me. Look what I look like wearing the inaugural garb. Don't you think maybe you should agree to overthrow the king and they should appoint me as a new king? This was all part of his sick mind, what he wanted to do.
I was wondering, I always got the impression that Ahasuerus got the sense that Haman, that he realized that Haman thinks I'm talking about him. I mean, and that's why when he says, Maher kach salavush, al kapel davar mikol asher dibarta, he realized that Haman thinks I'm talking about him, so I'm going to teach him a lesson. Sort of. In other words, not just do all this to Mordechai, but that you should be
do it quickly. Make sure you do.
In other words, I'll teach you a lesson.
Teach you a lesson, right? Because we mentioned yesterday the Medrash says that he had a dream last this night at when they read the Divrei Hayom and he finally fell asleep. He had a dream, and in the dream he says that Haman told him exactly what's going to happen. Haman is coming to kill you, and he wants to be Melech. He wants to, and the proof is that Haman wants to kill you. He is going to come in the middle of the night and demand that you kill a person that saved your life. And if you don't believe me, the Baal HaChalim says, ask him, what should you do to a person to whom the king wants to honor? And you'll see that he'll tell you, you should give him the royal garb, the levush, and the sus, and the kesar. So the entire thing is actually playing out. Everything, so therefore, Ahasuerus is terrified. The dream is true. You want to kill me. And that's why, Maher, you be the one that does this to Mordechai.
Set the stage is that the Balaila Ahu, in other words, the whole case that there was a plot to kill him, so that's what's on his mind when Haman is lurking in the bushes. That's what some of the Mepharshim said.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. V'nason halavush, now he goes on to say, V'nason pasuk tes, V'nason halavush, and I finished the targum. So therefore, these three things shall be given: the horse and the garments that you wore in your inauguration and the kesser. Pasuk tes, V'nason halavush, V'hasus, the clothing and the horse shall be delivered. Al Yad Ish Misrei Hamelech HaParatimim. The Paratimim means one of the official officers. Okay, the official officers of the king. HaParatimim means the elite, not just an ordinary officer, but someone high up in government. V'hilbishu Eso Ish Asher Hamelech HaVeitz Bikaro. V'yirkivu Al Asus, he should be driven on a horse. B'rechoy Fo'ir. V'karu Lefnav Yishu Kola before him. Kocha Yosel Ish, so shall be done to a man Asher Hamelech HaVeitz Bikaro. Now here we have already some Rashi. Rashi over here says, now notice that this pasuk over here, he's repeating the pasuk tes. He's repeating what he said in the pasuk tes with one major exception. He left out the keser malchus. When he saw that the king, the shagipa, the keser, he saw his body language. Okay, so there's body language. Body language in the Megillah. We have the reading of the minds in the Megillah, and we have body language in the Megillah. He saw that when he said to him the Kesser, he made faces, and that's one of the reasons why we have costumes. Because when you have a costume, you can't see exactly, you have to judge the person by their body language. Body language sometimes indicates even more than actual speech. And here, Haman changed his mind from what he says in Rashi. He was not happy with this statement. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Tes. Targum says, V'hi misyehiv levush ar givona v'susa, we're leaving out the keser, al yido de gvar rabo, a great man mirav revei de malka, istartigin. Okay, istartigin is the translation of hapartimim. Hapartim, I do not know the exact translation, but it means someone.
Could be aristocracy.
Aristocracy, the very, very top. Strategically positioned. Strategic. We want to say it comes from the word strategic. Strategic is derived from this word. Someone in a position of influence, a position of strategy. The Yilbishun Turbione Dmalka, he should wear the cloak of the king. Yos Gavra Dmalka Tsave, the person to whom the king wants, Bikore his honor. The Yarki Vinohi Ilave Susa should be driven on a horse, Bipischa, and the gate, the Karta, the gate of the city. Now that's Bipissa means the Rechoiv, not the gate. In the Rechoiv, in the square of the city, the Kalsun Kodomoy, they should praise before him. Kinda, like this, Yisave, Legavra, the Malkot, Save, Bikore, the person who the king wants to honor. Now, obviously, this pasuk is the diametric opposite of the Yavama. The Yavama is, Kocha, Yeose, Lo'ish, Asher, Lo'yivne, Esbeis, Ochiv. The Yavama, when the Yavam refuses to marry his brother's widow, in order to have children and rebuild his home, the Yavama is the Almana. So by him, the brother marrying her, he will be rebuilding, restoring to some degree the Churban of his brother. He doesn't want to do it. You don't want to do it. So the simple interpretation is, we're going to be mevaziyu. We're going to take off your shoes and we're going to spit at you. Taking off your shoes mean, there are many interpretations why she takes off her shoe and why she spits. On a very simple level, it means to disgrace you. A person who doesn't have shoes is a pathetic person. a person is obligated to sell everything that he owns in order to purchase shoes for his feet. And that is why, when you make a bracha in the morning, sha'asa li kol tzarki, me'ikar hadin, this bracha is recited when you put on shoes. Why? What does sha'asa li kol tzarki? You have done for me all of my needs. The fact that you have shoes indicates that you have more, and you have everything that you have, and you have assets. Because if you did not have assets, you would have to sell all of your assets to purchase a pair of shoes. So the
others once that she does, of course, is a miser.
What? That's another interpretation. As I mentioned, there are many interpretations of why she does so. But among the reasons is an act of bizionos. Not to own a pair of shoes indicates a person has been reduced to the lowest degree, the lowest level in society. It's not a bit. It's not for nothing that some women have in their closet 100 pairs of shoes, and some of those shoes they've only worn once in their lifetime, because it only matches this particular dress.
Obviously, obviously it's much covered. You see, by Yosef, when Yosef was appointed by Paro,
yeah,
he had him. Remember, it said he had him ride out on a chariot.
Right, same thing.
Maisha covered.
But doesn't say shoes. Doesn't say.
No, Maisha of riding.
He's saying
here,
there's a parallel to Yosef.
Okay, fine. But I want to first focus on the parallel to a Yavama. A Yavama, we have a Kemat the same. These are the only two places in Tachi have this expression. Kocha Yeyoselo Ish. There is a parallel. The ultimate mention of Bizionos is the Yavam. The Yavam who refuses to do chesed with his deceased brother and rebuild his home is disgraced. Kocha Yeoselo Ish Ashelo Yivnes Beisachif. What does that mean? What do you mean kocha? Doesn't say Bizionos. Well, now that we have the Megillah, and in the Megillah it says Kavot, Kocha Yeoselo Ish Asher HaMelech Chofetz Bikaro, and the same expression is used by the Yavam, and by the Yavam it's certainly doesn't mean to give him honor, right? You're not giving honor because he's not doing the act of Yibam. So it forces us to say, well, if it's not honor, it must be the opposite of honor. See, if we did not have this pasuk in the Megillah, we really would not know what it means. We really would not have a simple understanding of what it means in by the parsha of Yibam. It says, take off the shoe and spit. Alright, there's some Kabbalistic Indian over here in the Torah. We don't really know what it means. This shall be done to the person. Alright, fine. Is it something to be embarrassed of? That a woman spit and my shoe is taken off? No, maybe in fact this is honor. Maybe this is the form of honor. But now that we have in the Megillah passage that tells you what real honor is. So real honor is to sit on a horse in real garments. And to be paraded through the street, and someone should announce Kocha Yeoselo Ish. We now know that when it says by the Yavam Kocha Yeoselo Ish, it's an act of disgrace, of humiliation. And we learn here there are two forms of humiliation: to spit at a person's humiliation, and to take off their shoes. Take off your shoes, you're reduced to nothing. And that teaches us shoes is covered. It's kedai to spend $500 on a pair of shoes. It is kedai. Women to mechaber a wife. So that's right. Women. It's not for nothing that women have shoes, because shoes indicate a good pair of shoes indicate stature. That's what it is. This is Chazal. Indicates also li kol tzarki. You want to mechaber your wife. Give her a ticket. Give her a gift certificate to buy a pair of shoes, a $500 pair of shoes. If a man wears an expensive pair of shoes, it says something about what you value your life. Sha'as lichol tzarki. And certainly spitting represents bizionos. Now why is it true? What's the longest, the deeper meaning? Why spitting represents bizionos? What is the deeper? What is the peh? Okay, what is the peh? The peh is the koyach hadibur. The koyach hadibur is the greatest honor of man. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'adam leruach memalalah. When words come out of a person's mouth, this is the greatest success, the greatest honor for man. And man has achieved what he's meant to achieve, the koyach hadibur. When waste comes out of your mouth, that's mamish pumfa keret, that represents the biggest bizoyon. instead of being a person of kavod, of dignity, who has achieved the role of creation, a waste product comes out of your mouth and is directed towards you. That is the sign of the ultimate bizyonos. So therefore, when mevazeh the yavam, who doesn't do yibum, with spitting and taking off the shoes, that's the ultimate bizyonos relative to the two things over here, the horse and the royal clothing. Maybe you want to say is the clothing corresponds to the shoes and the horse corresponds to the spit. Because the clothing is what covers your body. It covers your body, and that right corresponds to the shoes, it covers your body. And the roik is a conceptual concept, is that you're a failure. Riding on the horse represents your person of stature. Okay, we'll stop over here.